From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Loving Ourselves, part of his series of studies in the Law of God. As he introduced the message, Dr. Cairns explained that true self-love is not self-centered and self-indulgent, but results from knowing the love of God. We'll see that the man who disregards God has a false view of himself. Thinking himself independent of God, he plunges headlong into the depths of sin. Thus he incurs God's wrath and judgment. What a terrible thing it is for a man to find that God is against him. Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to listen to this brief devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 15 and verse 4. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. How did you begin to bear fruit? It was when you came to Jesus and cast yourselves on His great atonement and rested on His finished righteousness. Ah, what fruit you had then! Do you remember those early days? Then indeed the vine flourished, the tender grape appeared, the pomegranates budded forth, and the beds of spices gave forth their smell. Have you declined since then? If you have, we charge you to remember that time of love, and repent, and do thy first works. Be most in those engagements which you have experimentally proved to draw you nearest to Christ, because it is from Him that all your fruits proceed. Any holy exercise which will bring you to Him will help you to bear fruit. The sun is no doubt a great worker in fruit-creating among the trees of the orchard, and Jesus is still more so among the trees of His garden of grace. When have you been the most fruitless? Has it not been when you have lived the farthest from the Lord Jesus Christ, when you have slackened in prayer, when you have departed from the simplicity of your faith, when your graces have engrossed your attention instead of your Lord? When you have said, My mountain standeth firm, I shall never be moved, and have forgotten where your strength dwells, has it not been then that your fruit ceased? Some of us have been taught that we have nothing out of Christ by terrible abasements of heart before the Lord. And when we have seen the utter barrenness and death of all creature power, we have cried in anguish, From Him all my fruit must be found, for no fruit can ever come from me. We are taught by past experience that the more simply we depend upon the grace of God in Christ and wait upon the Holy Spirit, the more we shall bring forth fruit unto God. Oh, to trust Jesus for fruit as well as for life.
Amen.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
The man who has no love for God imagines himself to be this independent character. He is no longer God's creature, answerable to God, dependent on God. Like Belshazzar, he preens himself in his earthly glory. He surrounds himself with all the majesty of his own doings. He surrounds himself with his own like-thinking friends. He blasphemes God. He mocks His law. He mocks His people. He tramples His truth beneath His feet. He drinks to His gods, His idols, out of the very cup that He took from the temple of God. But then God comes. Through the prophet Daniel, He says to him, God, in whose hand thy breath is. Here's the man who was, in his opinion, king of the world, joint king of the great Babylonian dominions. Soon he would imagine to be sole king. Here is this man, apparently impregnable, even though an army was outside his great capital. He knew they could never overcome him, so he thought. Daniel says, Belshazzar, you're such a dependent little creature, God even holds your breath in His hand. That night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, because God shut his hand. The man who has no regard for God embraces insanity, and he proclaims it as sin. He binds himself to sin and to Satan, to sorrow and destruction. The Savior says, whoso committeth sin is the slave of sin. But this fool says, I commit sin, and it is freedom. Binds himself to Satan, the great dominator and damner of the souls of men, and he proclaims him a loving master. He exalts the lusts of his lowest nature to the throne of his being, laughing in God's face as he says, sin when it is conceived bringeth forth lust, and when it's finished it brings forth death. Aye, indeed. He lives like there were no God. The man who doesn't love God lives like God didn't exist. Lives as if there were no heaven, as if there were no hell. I wonder tonight, do we have such in this very meeting? Oh, you'd never become what is called a theoretical atheist. You're not going to step out and as a philosophy of life say, I take my stand on atheism, there is no God. But in practical terms, you disregard him. You ignore him. You wish him out of existence. The fool hath said in his heart something he may never proclaim with his lips, but in his heart he says, no God. That's the wish of his deepest soul. No God, no judge, no lawgiver. He lives as if God did not exist and heaven and hell were myths. And he's a fool because God is. And heaven is real. And hell is a burning lake of fire that will consume in the endless punishments of a lost eternity the souls of the unregenerate as long as the eternal God exists. Thus, the man who disregards God betrays himself and destroys himself. The man who hates God hates himself. The man who rejects God rejects his own good. The man who makes God his enemy is the enemy of his own soul. Think for a moment of what it means to make God your enemy. It is to set up the full authority of the throne of the God of heaven, earth, and hell against you. In Ezekiel 5, verse 8, you have some of the most terrible words in Scripture. Thus saith the Lord, I am against you. Think of that. We can get through life with the government against us, with the church against us, even with our family against us, however hurtful that may be. But what shall we say of the man who has made the eternal God his enemy, so that from the throne of this universe, God says, I am against you. Whatever you do will not change that. Every dollar you make is but a blinker to blind your eyes to the reality of having God as your enemy. Every pleasure of the world is but an injection of a drug to drug your mind to the truth that God is against you. What a terrible thing to make God your enemy. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. To have God against you means to have all the mighty, infinite perfections and characteristics of God actively employed against you. Think of the power of God. He spoke the worlds into being. He upholds all this vast universe by the right hand of his power. The power that holds the entire universe together. How can we even begin to conceive of it? How can we describe the abject folly of the man who would make that power of God his enemy? That's why the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Moses once asked the question, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger?" Consider that for a moment. God has given us many great demonstrations of his anger. In the days of Noah, he sent the flood that covered this whole world, that wiped out the entire human race, which was then quite numerous. Estimated at over 1 billion people. God sent such a flood as to wipe them out, except one family. We read a little later how he sent fiery destruction upon the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. These are great demonstrations of the anger of God. But what Moses is saying in the 90th Psalm is this: when we look at the flood, when we look at the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah, when we look at these mighty manifestations of the wrath and anger of God, they still haven't plumbed the depths of God's anger. They still haven't expressed the fullness of God's wrath. Who knoweth the power thine anger? What is it to have God, who is angry every day with the wicked, as your enemy? Think of employing the justice of God against your soul. Deuteronomy 32, God says in verse 35, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And then in verse 41, he says, "If I whet my glittering sword, and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies." Notice this: "will reward them that hate me." The man who has no love for God is a man who hates God. And he invokes the power of God's judgment against his own soul. Is it self-love that does this? Is it any true love for self that would make God your enemy? My friend, that's not self-love. That is suicidal, to disregard God and reject him as your Lord. The point I'm making is very simple. You cannot begin to love yourself. You can go to every self-help, self-image seminar in America. You will never know what it is to love yourself until you come to know and love your God. Until you cast aside every notion of your own goodness and your own greatness and fall before the feet of the Savior, to embrace him as your Savior, your Lord, and your God, you will remain on a course of self-destruction. Therefore, go to the cross. Oh, get to Calvary. This is always the message of the book of God. Get to the cross. There you'll see the love of God. God is not sitting in heaven rubbing his hands with glee at the prospect of being able to damn miserable little souls in the lake of fire. God is a God whose love and compassion far outstrip our ability to understand it or express it. Go to the cross and see the greatest love story God could ever write. And he wrote it in the red ink of his own son's precious blood. Go to the cross, where Christ died the just for the unjust, to bring us to God, and there fall to receive him as your Savior and your Lord. Then will you begin to love the Lord, and as a result, you'll love yourself. That leads us to consider something of very vital importance to every Christian. It's a tension that every Christian feels. How is a Christian to maintain true humility and yet love himself? How is a Christian to avoid the twin evils of groveling in the mire of self-inflicted gloom, or glorying in the mist of self-imagined goodness. How is he to do that? We get the answer here. Let me put it this way. A true regard for ourselves will grow out of a thorough understanding of the Lord's description of us as his people. In love, the Lord has given us in the gospel certain great descriptions of us as his people. And the point I'm making is that we will only come to have a proper regard for ourselves as we understand the gospel and what God has said about us in Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.